Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. On today's episode, we have a very special guest joining us, someone who many of you listening will already be familiar with, particularly his voice, perhaps. So a very big welcome to author, retired financial planner, and host of the This Is Money podcast, Glenn James. Glenn, it is a pleasure to have you on board today. Did I miss anything there in terms of your various titles and accomplishments?
No, you didn't. Thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to have a chat with you.
I know you're having a busy week, mate. So we really appreciate you coming on board. And listen, I might be doing a bit of a disservice here to our former guests, but I think it's fair to say that we might not have ever had a guest on Friends with Money before who's logged quite as many hours chatting about the world of money and finance as you have. So given that, and given that you've got a brand new book coming out on investing, Glenn, I think we'd be stupid not to tap into that experience of yours today and some of the investing tips and lessons that you've learned along the way. So does that sound all right to you?
Sounds really good.
Well, before we get into that then, tell us about your new book, Glenn. What's it all about? What inspired you to write it? And what can people expect to get out of it?
Yeah, so thanks for asking, firstly. And, since we've done This Is Money, and it used to be called My Millennial Money, and we rebranded it at the start of the year, I think we're into our seventh year of podcasting. The number one topic that our listeners want to talk about and to do is invest in shares, right? Mm. And it's been the same for all those years. And I've always wanted to, write books and, information out there and to help people. And I've only now just written the investing book because I didn't want to just start and write a book just on investing, because I wanted to, the way I teach people is you need to get the structure of your life sorted first. Mm. Basic money hygiene. You need to understand money. You need to understand the lay of the land. So we did that in the Sort Your Money Out book. And then we did a book, Sort Your Career Out, which I called the prequel to that. And because if you look at investing, where do you get the money from to invest? From your job, from your career. And it was really important to me that people who listen to our podcast really get encouraged to dial into their career, because your career is an annuity pumping out hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars over your lifetime. So you need to get that right. So you get the basic personal finance stuff right, learn a bit about super, debt, all the things, the boring stuff, life insurance, all that stuff. Then make sure your career is nailed. Then we can go, okay, let's start investing. And that's why this year in 2024, we're releasing the Quick Start Guide to Investing.
So a very important question then, Glenn. When does the book come out, and where can people get themselves a copy if they're interested?
Well, the good news is, Tom, the book is available right now. It's just been released. You can get it wherever you find books, online, anywhere. I tell people, they're like, oh, you're an author. I'm like, I'm not an author. I'm just a guy who writes some books, because I'm not. I'm just out here trying to encourage people with their money, with their investing. And we're going to get to some tips, right? And anytime I do content and tips, I rarely, I don't think I've ever done a podcast episode on what's the top five cheapest brokerage accounts? What are the top five cheapest ETFs? I've never done that. So when I teach people, and the tips that we're going to get into, they're not tips like make sure you pay the lowest fees and make sure that you've got the best app that you can use. Like, all that stuff's hygiene. Like, you can start investing today. That's not the issue. And talking about this book more and writing the book, I've really distilled that it's really easy to invest. The hard part is staying invested.
Interesting. I really want to get into this now. So let's do it. I was dead keen before we came on to get some of your insights, Glenn, and some of the tips that you picked up along your journey so far. And as I said, I'm sure listeners are too. So where would you like to start?
Look, they're probably, I'll do five quick tips and we'll start in order because okay. I think it's important to build on the next one. So the first one, I touched on it with when I talked about my first book. You've got to get your house in order before you're worrying about investing for the you of tomorrow. So I like to tell people we have to do the you of tomorrow a favor today, but we can't do that today if your house isn't in order. I teach, and it is in the Quick Start Guide to Investing, my Sound Financial House, where when you build a house, you start with the foundations, then you pour the slab, then you put the walls up, then you put the roof. A lot of people, when I was a financial advisor, would come into my office and say, I want to invest in shares, I want to buy property. That's like the house or the roof. Like, yeah, we can do that. That's easy. But have you got good foundations? Have you got goals, which are like the walls of the house? And so if we go to the get your house in order, are you out of consumer debt? Do you have an emergency fund? Do you have a spending plan or budget? Do you have your estate plan sorted? Do you have your life and income insurances in place? Like, get your house in order. And then what that kind of leads to is once you've got a solid spending plan / budget, you will genuinely know how much money you've got left over each week, each month, each whatever. Then out of that leftover money, and it's tied out there, so leftover money might be a lot less than it was 5 years ago. You can say, I've got X amount left per month. I'm going to peel off a portion, maybe 40%, 50%, and put into my current lifestyle goals. But then the rest, I'm going to invest for the future. And this all comes back to, it's easy to get invested. It's hard to stay invested because you start investing tomorrow. You don't have your house in order. Rego comes up. Oh, I've got to sell down some shares and pay for that. Start investing tomorrow. That's easy. Oh, crap. Broke my tooth. $2,000 root canal, some stuff like that. I don't know. Oh, where are we going to get the money from? Comes out of the investing account. So easy to get invested. It's hard to stay invested.
I love that. I love the idea of getting your house in order, getting those fundamentals right, giving you that kind of nice base to kind of launch on and then get into the investing side of things. So after people get the houses in order, then Glenn, what would you say next? What comes after?
I want people then to think about why they are investing. And I covered this, I think, in the first or second chapter. And like, why do you want to build a strong financial future? Is it because you grew up and you didn't have much money and you want to change the rest of your life and your family tree? Is it maybe you've got children and you want to give them the opportunity that you didn't have growing up? Do you have older parents or relatives that don't have much money now and their retirement isn't dignified? So why do you want to invest? And this could even be back to savings. Most of the time, it's easy to save money if you've got a strong goal. It's like, I want to save up and go on an overseas holiday. I'm putting money in there. And then once you have that really strong goal, it's easier to fend off temptations like, oh, I want to go to this concert. Okay, what do I want more, to save for this holiday or to go to this concert in the short term? No, I'm saving for the holiday. So we need to get to that bedrock. Why do you want to invest? What is your why?
I can see the financial advisor coming at you there, man. I don't think I've ever spoken to an advisor before without talking about goals. And no, you're absolutely right as well. It's easy to say that I want to make more money, but having that clear goal, and we talked about this on a savings goal episode a couple of months back as well, that really helps people kind of, as you said, lock in and kind of focus clearly on that and make sure that they're focusing on that as opposed to other things. So makes a lot of sense.
So my next tip, tip three, once we've got our house in order, once we've focused on our why and, you know, got that nailed, we've got to look at our strategy. What is our strategy? Now, this is a bigger discussion than 3 minutes on a podcast. And I spent a lot of time in the book, in the strategy world. And as you said, the financial advisor jumped out of me. Now, when it comes to strategy, there's a couple of things happening. The first thing you need to look at, coupled with your why you're investing, is when, like, when is that money going to be needed? So a lot of that can come back to part of your strategy with your ownership structure. Am I investing it in my own name, in a joint names with a spouse or partner? Are we using superannuation? Are we using an investment bond if we want to invest for our grandchildren, for example? Are we using an investment bond for some type of estate planning thing? So we really get into ownership structure. So what ownership structure do we use? Because within each ownership structure, there's probably three main things that you need to consider. The first one is the tax year on year. So our investments produce income. So we need to look at tax year on year. The second thing that we need to look at is tax upon disposal of an asset. Now, disposal in the money world means a sale of an asset. So what is the tax ramifications when you sell down that asset? The third thing that you need to look at with the structure is what are the estate planning considerations? Is there a blended family? Do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? So you really need to look at where am I? I've got this why, I've got my house in order, I want to start investing. Well, what's the ownership structure going to be? Because most brokerage accounts, most investment platforms, you can plug into any ownership structure, basically. It could be, you know, carving out investment bonds, but you could theoretically set up a trust if you had some larger income and high net worth stuff happening and there was a bit more complexity. Investment company, all that stuff, that can own the investing account. So the second part of the strategy is, what type of investor are you going to be? Are you going to be one-stop shop ETF or managed fund? Are you going to build your own small portfolio of ETFs? Are you going to carve out a portion to have direct equities or some speculative things with a lower percentage? So in the book, I really give a lot of examples of some real life case studies of different life stages and ages and what structures and investments they've used.
And do you find just a kind of a side to this as well, Glenn, that people often skip this step, skip the strategy side and just start, as you said, start investing without that kind of, you know, thought at all?
Yeah. So I put up in the This Is Money Facebook group when I was writing the book, I'm like, when you first started investing, like, what percentage of you, like, actually looked at the structure first and thought about the strategy stuff? I think only maybe 10% of people said yes to that.
I would not be one of those, so I can totally understand that.
It's all about, you've got to do yourself of tomorrow a favor today, but also you need to, within your why and your broader strategy, look at what's the most flexible and the most tax advantageous and year on year and upon disposal, and also what happens if you die. Because, like, the more that you add to your investment account, if it's the wrong structure, it could be a hard egg to unscramble. And we also talk in the book, like, if you've got a structure and it's not right, what do you do? So, look, that's a big one there, strategy. And I think if you nail the strategy piece first and your why, you'll be all G in the H.
I love this. Egg scrambling and all G in the H. Wonderful stuff.
So my fourth tip, you know, once you've set your strategy and what you're going to invest in, I want you to really go into your ensuite or into your bedroom and look in the mirror and see who's standing there. And you need to work out what type of person you are when it comes to money and your behavioral blind spots. A lot of people, and this can feed into strategy in terms of the investment selection. My behavioral blind spots is, well, they are, like, I think I can build a portfolio and it's the best portfolio in the world. and I'll get cute and try and chop and change and all that stuff and I can do it myself. Nah, I just can't do that. I need to know that my personality will want to do that. There is so much data out there about trading shares, single stops, stocks and all that. Like the more you trade, the less you do over the long term. So I've just resolved I can't let that be part of my strategy. I need to do a set and forget. That, you know, behavioral blind spots, I put a rule in place that 10% or less of my portfolio value will not be in single stocks or any type of speculative angel investing and all that stuff. So you've got to understand your behavioral blind spots. Now, with that pendulum, me wanting to do everything and I can change the world and all that, the other side of that pendulum is the I need perfection, I need certainty, all this, it needs to be perfect before I act. That analysis paralysis is on the other side of the spectrum or the pendulum. So you just, and you might just need to bloody pick something and keep shoveling money into it because you can't control the world.
That's an excellent point. We talked about analysis paralysis again on a very recent pod, and it's something that stopped me from investing for a very long time.
Totally.
Just waiting, trying to work out exactly what I wanted to do. But now that I'm in, it's interesting because I'm very similar to what you said at the start. You know, I've got a couple of years under my belt now, and I'm thinking, well, you know, why don't I try and buy this single stock and see how it goes. And it's often those ones that don't go as well as I'd like them to. So resonates well with me, that's for sure.
Now, my fifth point, kind of to bring it home, is I've really, really resolved that, look, I once purchased an IPO, pre-IPO, got convertible notes that listed. I think I did 700% in 2 weeks, like huge, huge thing. And I realized, and you can fall into the trap, and a lot of the crypto bros and all that are in this trap. You think that because you picked a winner and you made lots of money, that you're somehow a pro when it comes to investing. And it's like, no, you're actually you're really good at being a plumber during the day, or you're really good at being a marketing manager during the day. Like you're a great nurse. You got lucky on a couple of those investing things. So stick to what you know. And I've really resolved in my life, like I'm in the money world every day. I'm talking about this crap every day. I'm reading every day. I'm a nobody when it comes to investing. The market does not know Glenn James. The market does not care about Glenn James. Any winners that I've picked, guess what? It's called luck. So I need to know that I'm a nobody when it comes to investing. I just focus on my income coming in, my expenses going out, and what's left over goes to some short-term goals, and then the rest gets parked for future Glenn in broad-based indexes. Sure, small, maybe little 10% of some quote-unquote fun stuff, but I'm in nothing when it comes to investing. And most of us are.
What's the say? I'm going to butcher this, but it's something like the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
The more you do something, the more you'll realize that you're a passenger in the investing world.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great kind of lesson to learn at some point, and also a great place to leave our chat today, which has been excellent and one that I've seriously enjoyed, Glenn. So thank you so much. But before we let you go, where can people find you online and listen to your voice and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, so I run a podcast called This Is Money. Nick, my co-author, runs a podcast called This Is Investing. In fact, the parts of the book that he wrote, he drilled deep on all the crap that I don't do in my own life. So he talks about single stocks. He talks about options trading and advanced strategies. So we're two different people. I kind of put my case out of the world. He does his case. And and we've got our Instagram, thisismoney.podcast. But I really appreciate you having me on and letting me talk with your listeners today. I hope it's been encouraging.
Well, it has for me and hopefully for everyone else as well. Glenn, thank you so much. Go check out Glenn's podcast, everyone. Go check out his book when it comes out. And we'd love to have you back on the show at some point, Glenn. So until then, lovely chatting.
Thanks, Tom. See you, friends. Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, I am Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.